This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday and Happy New Year. Big plans, Jeffrey? How are you going to celebrate the arrival of 2026?
Jeff, the tradition my wife and I do, Andrew Michael does like a prefixed, like you get to pick like 4 courses, and so we go to this every year.
That nice.
Yeah, we've been doing this, I think,
for 5 years. How soon do you have to get in your reservations for the next new year? Will you do it tonight after you're done? Say, put us down for next year?
No, because they have to open it up. I think Aaliyah got this one about 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Look at that. Yeah. It's nice, and that way you don't have to decide what you're going to do.
Exactly. This is what we've done, and shout out to, of course, my mom, who's handling Jeff.
Oh, that's nice. The Jennifer Valley, the official sex therapist of the Jeff Calkins show.
Of course.
I think she's having a party tonight. It's going to be wild, as you can imagine. It would be. Lots
a soiree.
Of lube handed out at
yeah,
the door,
of course.
Et cetera. No, I...
Chocolate.
I don't have particularly big plans. I did learn, I do some charitable contributions. It's kind of silly that I care that it's on December 31st because I don't think I itemize anyway.
Jason
Ripper does my taxes.
Yeah.
So I don't think it really matters that I give today as opposed to tomorrow. But I did learn, you know, I normally make my contributions and I get them postmarked by today. And, if you want to give to Church Health or some other worthy cause, the Daily Memphian's a nonprofit. We thank you for your support. A kind of a miracle that Memphians decided to create a newspaper in the midst of this newspaper environment, and it's supported honestly largely by subscriptions and advertising. I forgot what they said, 75% or something, but they have to raise money to keep it going every year. There's no one's getting rich off of the Daily Memphian. It is a local nonprofit. So you can give to the Daily Memphian. You could give to Church Health. You could give to whatever.
Jeff, that's not true. The readers are getting rich.
That's true.
The
readers are gonna. You can give whatever. But anyway, I did learn today that the post office has changed the rules that if you want something with the postmark on December 31st, the postmark is applied at the sorting center. In other words, putting it in the mailbox
doesn't
necessarily guarantee it.
Right. It has to be in.
Right.
It has to be. They have to file or whatever.
And so you're best off, if this is really important to you, you're best off to have mailed things 3 days ago.
Correct.
Or if you go to the counter and pay for the postage there, they'll. When did you last go to a post office counter? Do you ever go to the post office counter? I went within the last few weeks, but pre-Christmas I went to the counter, and it's
usually you only have to get stamps.
It's well, there you don't. Do you go to the counter? Or do you just go to the machine there? The machine that's in the lobby.
One time I went to the counter. I think honestly, the last time I went was passport related.
Oh, I see. That would make sense. Like the post office used to be. Oh, we'll see it. You run into people at the post office.
Yeah.
You know everybody. Now the post office is a hollowed out shell. There's usually one person working there. But anyway, I have to do that today. And we'll see. We'll see what else is in store today. I have two bad news, Jeffrey. This from the Daily Memphian. You know, some of the great excitement over this past 2025. We'll talk about the sports year in a moment. But some of the non-sports excitement generated by the imminent arrival of Buc-ee's.
Yes, right? Of course.
Right? You knew that there was a Buc-ee's coming.
You know, I'm an enthusiast.
In Fayette County, off the interstate, and one
West
in Memphis. Memphis as well. They've been delayed. I mean, it's one thing for what's going on at Blue Oval, where Ford, you know, changed everything,
right,
whatever else. It's quite another thing when they start messing with your Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's is delaying this. Sophia over at the Daily Memphian has reported this. Buc-ee's is delaying their offerings. Here we go. West Memphis location until 2028, and its Fayette County location until 2027. Both were slated to open in 2026. So there you go. The Galloway Travel Center, that's Interstate 40, exit 28. Well, that was announced in April of 24, and that was the one that was supposed to open earlier. The West Memphis was announced in September of 24, and all of these are being delayed. So there's some bad news there that you're going to have to grapple with here as we bring 2025 to an end. Do you care about New Year's celebrations? Not so much the celebration.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Buc-ee's because I was like, how much time do you have?
You've hit upon a tradition, and I'm sure you care about the Andrew Michaels service and experience and all of that, and you'll have a lovely time. Does the passage of a year, the turning the page of another year, is it an occasion for you for introspection, for looking back or looking forward? Not so much even resolutions, but imagining what might be ahead or deciding what might be ahead in 26. Does it have any significance as a milestone for you one way or another?
So I do find myself at this time of the year, like, looking back and trying to kind of catalog or trying to process, like, what happened this year.
Oh, it's funny you should say that, because last night Claire and I were laying down and we were thinking about 2025 and we were thinking of highlights.
Yep.
We had a spectacular trip. It was a wedding trip, but to Colorado.
Yep.
It is funny how this is, and it was one of the things that struck me. That trip to Colorado, we went on, we did a bike race ride slash whatever in Arkansas, stayed in Little Rock. It is interesting how, and then we bought a house. So to me, the things that you sort of think back on, you know, it's birthdays, deaths, celebrations like that,
yeah,
weddings,
milestones.
House selling, milestone stuff. But then beyond that, one thing that you tend to remember more than anything else, trips.
100%.
Trips.
Where'd we
it's
go?
An argument for more trips.
What did we eat? You know, like that kind of stuff.
And it doesn't even have to be fancy trips.
No.
Like the trip that we took to Arkansas was getting in the trusty minivan, heading over there, staying at a, you know, your basic chain hotel for two nights. It was an inexpensive trip, but that pops in the way that any normal weekend does not.
Was this the year that you went to the Delta in Mississippi?
We did that one too. We stayed in the hotel with the skid marks on the...
Yeah, because I obviously...
In the toilet.
I offered you no help, but I was like, you should have called me via Aaliyah.
Yeah.
She lived down there.
Yeah, like, that was
could have sorted that out.
That was grim, but that was another. Like, we remember that.
Sure.
When you think
you
back,
do not forget skid marks.
That wasn't it. It actually only came up glancingly as we were counting the year. But those are the kind of things. Like, I had, it was a, you know, even for my family, it was like my brother was diagnosed with Parkinson's this year, and that was a hell of a setback for him. We are beginning to realize that. The nine of us, and we now range from 60. My little brother, Tim, turned 60, And we went to his, that's another trip,
yep,
in
birthday.
Chicago. He turned 60 this year. My older sister Sally is probably 75, let's just say. She's probably 75, 76, 76. We'll say 76. It is beginning to dawn on us. And I know this is going to come as a shock.
The range from the nine of y'all is 50, only 15 years?
Maybe 16 years.
But I mean, it's in that, it's whatever, it's, give or
it's
take,
in the, it,
six
there
or
was,
seven
there
months.
There was one set of Irish twins in there.
Yeah.
Ben was born in January of the same year that Hugh was born in December.
Yeah.
So we had one of those. Mostly it's 2 years apart. But we had a couple of whatever. So okay, maybe she's 77.
But my point is, it's not like 20. Because I thought you and Tim are significantly younger.
No. Tim's 4 years younger. He's clearly a mistake. He was 100% a mistake.
Because you were the getting over your mom moving to Buffalo, right?
And I was, yes. Mom, when we moved to Buffalo from Boston, mom was depressed and she needed another project to take her mind off the move. She grew to love Buffalo. But at the time,
she wasn't
happy. Setback. And so I was her new project. So I was conceived in Boston, born in Buffalo. But then Tim came along 4 years later, which is the biggest gap between any of the kids. Ellen is 2 years older than me. Hugh is 2 years older than Ellen. You got Ben, who's 11 months older than Hugh. Then Joan is 2 years older than Ben. Lucy is 2 years older than Joan. Steve is 2 years older than Lucy. And Sally is 2 years older than Steve. So, whatever. Maybe she's 77, 78.
I feel like this is the scene in Good Will Hunting when Will's making up his family. He's like going through, yeah.
Someone once came up with a song. If you married into the Calkins
family.
You're
going to bet one of your sisters? Continue.
No, actually, it was if you marry into the Calkins family, how do you possibly know who's who or keep track of all the names?
And so certainly feels like it homework.
So one of the cousins at a rehearsal dinner took the song Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, that song, you know, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, you know that song?
To be clear, did not take Precious and Few?
No. Took this other song, and here you go. Ready? Sally, Stevie, Lucy, Joni, Ben, Huell, and Jeff, Tim. Sally, Stevie, Lucy, Joni, Ben, Huell, and Jeff, Tim. Sally, Stevie, Lucy, Joni, Ben, Huell, and Jeff, Tim. Sally, Stevie, Lucy, Joni, Ben, Huell, and Jeff, Tim. Dum dee dum 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 dum, like that. And onward we go. That's how you remember. Anyway, my point is, it has begun to dawn on us.
Is that Mary Poppins or is that
I think it's Mary Poppins. That we will not all be around forever.
Yeah, it's Mary Poppins. But clever
yes.
Mnemonic device.
You missed the larger point.
Yes, we're not going to be forever. You're like my friend in the group chat that
forever.
Keeps pointing out how old we're getting. Like the other day.
And you all are young.
Well, not that young, but yes, youngish. He did the move of my kids watching Home Alone would have been the same thing as us watching a movie from 1955.
Yeah.
And then I did think yesterday he missed an opportunity to depress us even more. Tiger Woods turned 50 yesterday.
I saw that. Tiger Woods, it was Tiger's birthday yesterday. Sorry, Tiger, for missing it. And it was LeBron's birthday yesterday. LeBron was 41,
yep.
And Tiger was 50. When's the last time Tiger won a golf tournament?
I believe it's the... Is it the Masters in 2019? I can't remember. He had a tournament in Japan. I think that was before. It might be the Zozo in Japan, but it's 2019.
Don't know where we got. Don't know. I was thinking 25. 25 was a year when it has begun to dawn on us that we may not all be around forever. And I imagine, like, as people are out there listening, there are people who had unbelievably great years and there are people who had really difficult years. And it's a little, I look ahead, to the year that's to come. And it is interesting. You have no idea what it's going to hold. You just have no idea what it's going to hold. Is it going to be a spectacular year for you personally? Is it going to be a miserable year for you personally? How about for our country and our world? Is it going to be a great year? Is it going to be hell, this is the year where you had those Texas floods.
Yeah.
Just the tragedy that was unleashed in those Texas floods.
Stories I could not read.
For those families that,
God,
who knows what they were thinking.
I nailed it. Zozo was his last win.
There you go. So I do think it is a moment, if not for resolving to do everything better in your life. I do have some resolutions here. Let's see. Okay, here's one of them.
Okay. Oh, boy. Can I guess Jeff's resolutions?
I'd guess one. It's a simple one. It's around, it's conventional stuff. It's the kind of thing that anyone could make a resolution around.
Be more present.
No, 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 no. Someone did say, basically, one of the rules should be, if there is a human in front of you, meaning in, you know, not in front of you like in line, but
I know,
if there's a human in front of you, your phone should be away.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, the that's not mine, though. That is not mine. Here you go. It's around fast food. I just...
Limit McDonald's to once a month?
No, no. I went to McDonald's yesterday in preparation, getting ready for the new...
Well, I wasn't going to say once a week. Come on.
No, fast food. I was thinking let's just have no fast food, but that's not going to happen.
Why? So, you drive a ton. You take road trips.
Well... So
does road trips not count? No, no. Are you throwing in a road trips exception?
Absolutely going to have a loophole for road trips.
Okay.
Whatever
road trips exception.
Whatever the
C footnote.
Whatever the fast food rule is.
Calories don't count on the road.
The there will be a loophole for any road trip.
Okay.
I think fast food. I really do believe in the value of black and white lines. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to because
you do believe in absolutes.
Well, otherwise it's otherwise you're bargaining with yourself.
Gray area,
all the
yes,
right. Like
yeah.
I think for people who are struggling with drinking, I think stopping drinking, period, is easier than I'm going to have two drinks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think moderation for people who are of a certain bent. I think they're whatever. So I do believe in bright lines, but I think here I can do it. I think. I was contemplating a bright line with the loophole. Now what I think I'm going to do is say no more than once a week, any fast food.
Okay.
That's reasonable, isn't it? I mean, I also don't have kids, so I'm not
yeah,
like...
Yeah, exactly. You're not on the go as much. Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to learn to play the tuba again.
Okay.
And
dust that old thing off?
Dust the tuba off. And well, my kids play.
You're going to brush up on your
kids
French, too?
Aren't very good
I
anymore.
Thought about this They've, one.
They, my kids play baritone, trombone, and tuba, but they don't play much anymore. But they did play over Christmas. They played Christmas carols with our cousins. And I just said next year I'd like to be able to play with them.
Okay. That's I would say it's more of a goal than a resolution.
It's a goal.
But yeah.
To learn to do. Yeah, that's fine. A goal to do that. And really, I think that's it. Those are my only two.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, there could be some life changes coming up, but we'll see.
I did definitely dust off the old, is this going to be the year that I get back into French? I thought about that
French.
One.
French?
Yeah.
You're going to do like Duolingo or something?
I still have Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, if you pay enough that it lasts forever.
I forget, you do like Paris.
Yeah.
Do you have trips planned this year?
No. And like that's the other thing. It's like, that's going to be kind of tough to be like, hey, mom and dad.
Oh, every trip involves that. I have 3 months. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of that. Happy New Year, everybody. Take stock however you take stock. And I hope to, if 2025 was great, if 2025 was miserable, I hope 2026 is easier and better for all of us.
Agreed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Including the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes. It was fun till it wasn't.
I think let's first say that there was a lot of great stuff last night, right? Including the vibe,
if
the
we
fun.
Agree that defense was not something it, we were
it was
reviewing.
It was a hell of a fun game.
Yes. It was awesome to see the intro.
Epic, everything. Yeah. It was awesome.
Shout out Eric. Eric got on the NBC cold open.
I saw that. Yes, that was that. And right down to Bill Kennedy with the replay.
Absolutely.
Like it was, everything was great. The place looked great. The vibe was great. It was
atmosphere.
It was
sounded
incredibly
awesome. Yeah.
Exciting. You had the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl teams were in attendance. I mean, you say, well, it's the fun of going to a bowl game these days in the cold, whatever. Those teams got to go see an epic performance by Ja Morant, among other things. And then the Grizzlies, although they did lose an OT, let's remind ourselves, they're playing Javon Small and they're playing, you know, Caboclo's in there. Like, they're still playing. Coloquo's in there. They're playing a bunch of, they're 8 men down in the rotation. They started a guy on a 10-day.
I believe it was on his last day of the 10-day, right?
And, yep. And they are, so, and they, let us not forget that. Like, the Sixers were not down anyone meaningful. Grizzlies are down meaningful rotation players, including the player who would have certainly fixed the offensive rebounding issue that they're giving up offensive rebounds. They gave up 14 offensive rebounds, leading to 18 points. But for that, the Grizzlies would have won. I mean, the truth of the matter is, we can analyze all the things we're going to analyze here in a moment, but it really comes down to the Sixers had 111 shots and the Grizzlies had 92.
Yeah. The only other thing I would throw.
Turnovers. It was horrible.
It was like watching the Tigers.
20 turnovers.
Yes. And with NBA basketball players.
They put a whole new meaning to the word ball drop.
Correct.
Celebrating New Year.
Early.
Early. By the way, the ball drop, you know when it started?
I do not.
Well, it started about a minute into the game last night, but it started at 1907 was the ball drop to welcome 1908. And it is, of course, it was actually the New York Times, literally the New York Times and the New York Times building. It actually first started in 1904. The New York Times, to celebrate a new building or a new wing of a building or something, decided to blow off fireworks. And 200,000 people came to Times Square. That was the first time they gathered.
Wait a
in
minute.
Times Square.
We call it Times Square because that's originally where the building was?
Yeah, 100%. It's because of the New
York
Times.
I had no idea. No, I just learned something today.
It's called because of the New York Times. 1904, and then they added the ball and got rid of the fireworks because you can't blow off fireworks above all these other buildings for fear that the embers are going to land.
Can or won't.
Okay, fine. Won't. Shouldn't. Shouldn't. Anyway, so 1907, they added the ball to welcome the ball to 1908. But the Grizzlies, as you point out, had a hard time holding on to the ball last night. 20 turnovers leading to 21 Sixer points. So between the turnovers and the offensive rebounds, the Sixers, although they were out-rebounded and outshot, hell, the Grizzlies shot 55%, the Sixers shot 45%. The Grizzlies had 70 points in the paint. The Grizzlies had 19 points in position in transition. The Grizzlies got 40 from Ja and 28 from Cedric Howard. You win that game, but for the turnovers and the offensive rebounds,
yep.
Right?
Totally agree. Or maybe just one of them. Like, maybe you could have, I think if you held onto the basketball, you probably could have gotten killed on the glass because you and I talked about it yesterday. If Embiid was going to play, we weren't exactly fired up about the inside matchup.
And so then you get to the issues. And you get to the question of, did Isolo cost them the game?
Yeah, sure.
We had another game involving the Memphis Tigers and Wake Forest where a coach very clearly 100% cost his team the game.
Yep.
That was black and white.
Yep.
This is not black and white. But I understand why people are enraged. I watching it myself, I was enraged. Like when and you can pick the moment. I think for me, it was with 6:16 left. They're down one, and Ja and Cedric Howard both come out.
I think, to me, the biggest one, that's when he took them out, when he brought them back. I think in the end, that's kind of the biggest argument is Ja and Cedric.
Down one, 6:16, Ja and Ced come out. Over the next 140 of game time, the Sixers go on an 8-2 run.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he was trying to thread that needle of getting the TV timeout, getting the media timeout.
People were enraged when it happened, and then as they watched one unfolded, they only became more enraged, right?
Yeah.
And I totally get it. I totally get it. You had Joel Embiid, one-legged Joel Embiid, playing 38 minutes, right?
Yeah.
You had four Sixers, Maxey, Embiid, Edgecombe, and Paul George, all played more minutes than any Grizzly player. Now, they're both on minutes restriction of some type. So here's what Isolo said. The question that was put was this a minutes burden, long-term, whatever question? Or was this they needed a blow in that moment?
Yeah.
Right? Which was it? Was it like you felt like they really needed a blow in that moment? Or was this, you know, minutes, this is what we do, minutes restriction stuff?
Yeah, basically came a question of, was that scheduled or was that necessitated?
Yeah, was it looking long-term or was it looking short-term?
Right.
And what he said was both. Both guys went heavily over their recommendations today because we felt like this was a very important game for us, and obviously it went to overtime. There is always a voice in my head that is asking, is this the right play to make? You have to make that call. We felt like both players benefited from that short break. We, as a team, I'm not sure we benefited from that at the moment, but it also led to two guys who were relatively fresh going into the last few minutes. And in fairness,
they were awesome down the stretch.
They were awesome down the stretch. He also said this. The question was, how do you weigh feel of the game versus minutes restrictions?
Yeah.
Or minutes recommendations? I think we've had this discussion already. Isolo was clearly not enthusiastic about this area of discussion. There is always an element of planning and always an element of feel. You also don't want to empty out the bank account just because you feel like. Of course, everybody wants to do everything they can to win the game, but you also don't want to take any long-term risks. That balance is always very hard to strike. It's one game out of 82. You must maintain perspective, always. That's very hard in that situation because even I have emotions, you know? So you try to make the best in those situations and balance what is best in the short term and what is best in the long term. They've been doing that.
Yeah, I think I would have a bigger problem with this if it would have been out of the norm.
Well, is it a bigger problem if it's out of the norm, or is it a bigger problem because it's exactly what we see all the freaking time? Like, is it because it's out of the norm or because it's in the norm? I big picture, here's the argument you can make. The Grizzlies do all this minutes restriction stuff, and literally there is not a team in the league that is more injured than the Grizzlies.
Who has been championing this argument?
What the hell? Like, okay, you guys are so bloody smart with your minutes restrictions. Yeah,
show me the
genius,
proof.
Wherever. You are literally, now, are they more injured than any other team in the league because of that, or because they have a fairly breakable Ja and a fairly breakable Zach Edey, and because of, like, maybe without the ministry, maybe it would be dramatically worse.
Maybe they also take injury risks.
It is incredible.
In player acquisitions.
It is incredibly frustrating in that moment. And there were others, by the way. You had in the first half, Yet he took Morant, Coward, and Jaren all off at 7:07, and a 7-point lead disappeared. Like, that was, like, this is what he does. It's what he does. And people get enraged. They get enraged, particularly when you lose. You know, you're trying to thread a needle here. We've seen this for ages with this team, really, for 2 years now.
Yeah, I think
we saw it with Jenkins, and we see it with Isola.
I think now it's also exacerbated by the fact that when you take them off the floor, you are bringing in.
Well, that's true too.
G League adjacent players.
I think that's true too.
You're
not bringing in Ty Jerome
exactly.
Here.
And this is not me trying to defend Isola, but like. I just think it's dramatic.
Is this game important or is it 1 of 82? He said both those things.
It was a national TV game.
And really, why is it more important than, I mean, in the standings, it's no more important than that freaking Wizards game you just lost.
No, it's true, but I do also think with it being a home game, and we've talked about the importance of needing to get people to the building.
And for anyone who went to the building last night, I don't think anything about that made you. I think you wanted to come back.
Yeah.
Like, it was a show. It was great. And the other thing that was great was Ja. And Ja has now been great 2 out of 3 games.
Yeah.
He was great against Milwaukee.
Yep.
And he was great last night. And we were talking all day yesterday or the day before about Ja's future with the team. And no matter what, whether you're thinking about trading him or keeping him, the best thing Ja can be is awesome. Right? Like everyone's interests align here. You need Ja to be awesome if you want to trade him, and you need Ja to be awesome if you want to keep him and lead you into the future. And so Ja being awesome was tremendous, and it made the night really what it was. He was obviously the 40 points. He got set tech early, so he was playing mad.
Yep.
But he was efficient. He was hitting a lot of those shots.
He was hitting the shots
that a lot of games this year he just has not hit.
And the shots that he has previously made. Like, it wasn't 100%. It was a return to form.
He only took 2 threes.
Yeah.
He wasn't settling. He wasn't hoisting threes. He was 16-22. He's the job. Like, if you traded Ja and that Ja showed up on Minnesota playing like that.
That's a difference maker.
You'd say, what the hell did we just do? What in the world? We traded that? That's a hell of a lot of fun. That's awesome. Truly an incandescent player. And it is interesting. Ja knows it's a national TV game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? Do you get a different Ja, though? Like, the Ja was, in other words, is that to his discredit? That we got that game last night from Ja, but we got the game that we got before from Ja against the Wizards because it was just another game and he didn't bring it?
I think there was also the maxi of it. I think that's a huge part of it.
You don't need that every game, but you do need, like, Steph Curry can have bad games, but it doesn't feel like Steph Curry only plays great in games that are on national TV. You know what I
Correct.
Mean? Like, you have to, in the end, bring your enthusiasm, energy, engagement, all of that, you know, 9 games out of 10.
Well, in particular, when you're shorthanded. Like, I think that if we were actually talking about, like, what has disappointed me the most this year, and it hasn't always been consistent, but with Ja and Jaren, when they've been on the floor together, like, you've needed them to be great, and they haven't always been great, because that's what you're paying them for, is when you're shorthanded, like, they have to carry the load. Your stars have to be stars.
Back to, again, what a great night it was. What do you want? You want Ja to be great and Ja to be a star and Ja to show out, and he did. And then the other thing, you want your rookie to be great.
Yep.
And your rookie was awesome, including that rebound dunk over Embiid. Like, he was awesome. Now, ultimately missed the three-pointer. That's the other. Well, the first area of criticism for Isola is the rotations, right? And we'll talk more about it with Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. The next area of criticism is the final shot. Cam Spencer not on the court.
Yeah.
And you needed a three. You needed a three. And Cam Spencer, clearly your best three-point shooter, not on the court. He had Morant, Jaren, Coward, Aldama, and Wells. 1.7 seconds left. You needed a three. Technically, should John not be on? Like, if you just wanted to win, if the goal was only, if there wasn't any agendas, any messages, any, would John not be on the court? You don't want John hoisting a three. You call 12 if he can do something beyond just hoist a three.
Yeah, you can't.
But you can't.
I also acknowledge reality.
No, 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 no. I was just, that was a hypothetical question.
I understand.
That was the hypothetical question because I acknowledge reality too. But so then it's Jaren, Sed, Aldama, and Wells. And this is what he said. We felt we had five shooters on the court and a very good passer in Santi Aldama. Cam Spencer leads the NBA in three-point percentage. They didn't have their best. They didn't have five shooters on the court. They had four shooters on the court. He said, we felt we have five shooters on the court and a very good passer in Santi Aldama. We cannot call Ja a shooter, but we acknowledge he had to be on the court. But they had four shooters on the court. They did not have their best shooter on the court.
I also acknowledge in late game situations, like, are we sure, like, he gets the shot off?
Doesn't even having him out there pose a threat that makes it easier for everybody?
Okay,
in the end, they got to find shot he missed, you know, whatever.
I mean, to me, it's like, I think I would have a bigger problem if they didn't get a good look.
Right.
I mean, honestly, the bigger problem...
Got a good look by a guy who you have no problem really taking that shot.
The last shot of the game in regulation was a great shot, too. Like, that's one you got to make. Santi's open.
Oh, no, there's no question. Jalen Wells missed one, and then Santi missed a wide-open three.
I mean, Edgecombe made his.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about coaching now. The previous shot that Edgecombe made, there the criticism is, why did Ja leave... him.
Yeah, no, that was terrible switching.
Why did Ja leave him freaking wide open?
And then not really waste that much effort to get back. Like, when they switched, it was just awful.
I mean,
it was not great defense.
That was not great defense in that moment, very clearly. Anyway, big picture, it was a hell of a fun night. Like, whatever. It was a fun night. Yes, incredibly frustrating. And it does highlight... Here's the truth, though. I think it's really frustrating for Memphis fans. And I think we should acknowledge this. It's when you already have no idea on a given night who is going to play, if the players who you want to see are going to be there, when you know that a bunch of them are not, all of that, right?
Yep.
You already are dealing with the uncertainties of the actual injuries, plus then the load management and the caution that you have all of that. And then on top of it, the best players that you do have don't play nearly as many minutes as the best players on the other team, even though one of them is Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
That is incredibly frustrating.
1,000%. Listen, I'm not saying he's a perfect basketball coach, but I do think from a fan perspective, having Tom Thibodeau as your head coach is the best because he's going to play his guys.
He just plays them. And I'm not.
And maybe run him into the ground, but you know what?
I'm not arguing for Tom Thibodeau.
If
you can acknowledge that that game was more important because for whatever reasons, because it was Philadelphia and it was home and it was national TV and you're starting out on this January where you're going to play 15 games in January, including a trip to Europe, like... If you're acknowledging that this game has extra significance, why do you take Ja and Coward off the court with 6:16 to go?
The only answer I have is because that was the plan.
We'll talk to Chris Harrington about this when we return. Taking a break, Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Brad just stuck his head in here, and he was at the game last night, was just talking about what a spectacular vibe it was. And I think that should not be, again, like, I wished we could have played highlights today because it was a spectacular way to end the year for the Grizzlies. A reminder how much fun NBA basketball is. And when you look at the fact that he is without his starting center, and as he's without his backup point guard, and you know his next best big, and like you look at the players missing from that roster, and the fact that you got a spectacular performance out of Ja and a spectacular performance out of Cedric Coward, there was a hell of a lot of good last night. So it should not get washed away in the debates that people will have over both the Cam Spencer omission and over the rotations, which are, and
I do think
it's part of the fun, honestly, but it's also part of the fun of this. You know, you get to second guess.
Ali and I went last Friday. So that's back to back home games with good atmospheres.
Great atmospheres. Yeah. Yeah. So
I do think that's important.
Well, it's one of the things that I wrote about today. I wrote about some of the stuff that we've been talking about, like what a tough year 2025 was. And if you look at 2025 in Memphis sports, you can read the column over the Daily Memphian. The things that are clear is that it was a disappointing year. There were moments, very, very clearly moments, like winning the conference tournament was great fun.
Yep.
In basketball, winning the, you know, going to the NCAA tournament again, despite how it worked out, is great fun in basketball. Getting to be a 5 seed, great fun. Beating Arkansas in football, great fun. Beating UCF in football, great fun. Cedric Coward's emergence, great fun. Zach Edey looking like a freaking monster, incredibly promising for the future. I mean, there's been a lot of good stuff, but fundamentally, you had teams that were, the Grizzlies on the same day last year were in third in the West, one game out of second, and they totally belly flopped, right? And now you're just struggling to get back to 500. You can't stay healthy. It's been disappointing. The Memphis football team, when the first playoff rankings were announced, they were projected to be in the 12-team playoff field. All they had to do was win 3 games against American Athletic Conference opponents, 2 of which were at home.
Yep.
And then the conference championship game. And they lost all 3 of those games. Come on,
or,
man.
Or don't lose to UAB and you could have won 2 of 3.
And you could have, yeah. But yeah.
Yes.
And so it's just, come on, man. Seriously. And the Tigers were ranked, I have it in the column, I think 19th, 21st at this time last year, on the same day last year. And they were on their way as high as 14th in the AP top 25. And now it looks as bad as it's ever looked. By the way, they play today against North Texas. They are 11.5 point favorites at FedEx Forum to ring out the new year. So they all belly flopped. They all just, what the hell? So it was disappointing, partly because it fell from such highs, but then it was also disappointing because you wonder if larger trends that are working against all these teams are going to make it more likely to have more disappointing years in the future, particularly for Memphis football and basketball. I looked up the budgets for Ole Miss and the budget for Tennessee and the budget for Memphis, and you just I don't have the numbers in front of me. Once 169, are you kidding?
Like, it was 149. I have your column right here. It was 149 to 67.
This was in 24. Yeah, 149 for Ole Miss, 67 for Memphis, and then 220-something or whatever for
234.
234 for Tennessee, and that's revenues for 24. And now that it's just money, money's all that matters. It's not tradition or relationship with the coach, or it's just how much money you
access
put in someone's pocket.
Recruiting.
Access to recruiting, a tradition of Memphis players going to Memphis. Well, and it's none of that. It's just how much money you can put in someone's pocket. Well, when the money is that imbalanced, how the hell is Memphis supposed to compete? And that's a real problem. Now, the good thing, it really is one reason why this city's best shot for real success is the Grizzlies, because they don't have the same structural disadvantages. There are some disadvantages that the Grizzlies have. They don't have as much revenue as the Knicks, and they don't have as revenue as the Lakers, but they operate in leagues with salary caps. So
the NBA champion was in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, basically, everyone can spend the same amount of money. And so, and there's there's a draft. No, you can.
But, no show jobs.
And there's a draft whereby you don't just get to, you know, Alabama can go out and get whoever the hell they want. And just because you're Memphis, you're not as good as Alabama the year before, you don't get to pick the next recruiting class right ahead of Alabama. It's not the way it works, but the draft. So the best structural path to success is clearly for the Grizzlies. That is Memphis, the city of Memphis's opportunity to be relevant and compelling on the national stage more than ever. It's the best opportunity is for the Grizzlies to be that, because the football team, the best they can really be is get their ass kicked in a first round playoff game. Really, if we're being realist right now. And for the basketball program, if you're not going to spend, you can't do it. Now, it's an interesting question, and this is something Ed Scott has to grapple with. You know, where do you spend? Do you spend for football? Do you spend for basketball? And it's a lot of other shows on this station have talked about it and taken sides on it, whatever else. I acknowledge it's really tough. It's a tough decision. In the end, you spend on football because it drives conference decisions, conference realignment decisions. That's why you spend on football. And because you've got a new stadium that you control, and you don't want that to be a money pit. You want to be making money off that stadium, not losing money off that stadium. On the other hand, basketball is what we've cared most about historically, and the best you can expect in football really is not to be a national power. Whereas in basketball, if you spent, like Gonzaga does, like St. John's does, like other non-power four schools do, you could still be a national power in basketball. I think it's very tricky for Ed Scott. I guess I would say, and what I came down on here is that it looks tough for Memphis right now in the world of sports. Obviously, the best opportunity is for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, what they're fighting against, honestly, is, and I thought last night was a step towards addressing it, what they're fighting is this sort of narrative that's bubbled up that you can't go downtown.
Yeah.
Right? And to their credit, I really think what's happening with the lease, as much as anything, is they are using the leverage that they have to get a new lease. They are using it to force changes downtown that need to happen.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see more of that in the coming year. And it is important that we get more of that in the coming year, and that we finally do get a lease signed in the coming year. I guess to me, what I came down in the column is that, okay, all that's true. All that stuff is true. There are all those obstacles. So what are you going to do? And there's nothing to do other than to do your best and to realize that sports is incredibly unpredictable. We think we know what's going to happen, but if I had told you 5 years ago that Indiana would be the best team in football, college football, and that Vanderbilt would be able to go into Neyland Stadium and humiliate Tennessee and not have it not be some kind of crazy upset.
Right.
you would say, what in the world? That is crazy talk. The world changes all the time in ways we do and do not anticipate. And so all you can do if you're Ed Scott or Zach Kleiman or Jason Wexler or whoever is working on behalf of Memphis Athletics in any of these realms is to do the best you can. I mean, it's an old quote that I have. I quoted Brooks Monaghan on this, and there's a guy, I think it's now 13 of the last 19 years they've gone to the NCAA tournament in women's soccer. Women's soccer in a poor city, in an underfunded university, it is a nationally relevant women's soccer program. That's crazy. It's crazy. And why does he do it? Because he doesn't focus on the negative. He doesn't focus on the reasons that he can't do it. He focuses on how he can do it. I mean, it's really a model for us all. And for every, yeah, sure, there's obstacles to Memphis football and there's obstacles to Memphis basketball. And the Grizzlies have their own obstacles. There were obstacles to Indiana football. And then they hired the right coach and they spent some money. And
we don't talk about that. Texas, we only talk about the only team that spends money is Texas Tech.
The team
that's the only school that spends
even
any
there,
money.
Texas Tech, the team from Texas that can still win a national championship is Texas Tech.
Correct.
It's all totally unpredictable and crazy. So
the lesson here is just find a billionaire that can't buy his
exactly
own sports
right.
team.
Other stuff, by the way, we got Chris Harrington coming up next. We'll bring all these Grizzlies issues to him and let him solve them for us. But other issues to discuss very briefly.
Sure, he'll be thrilled.
If you were a Grizzly fan who happens to be a Tennessee fan.
Yeah, that was a tough night.
Although, if you're a Tennessee fan, I don't know. What's the answer to this? How much do you care?
I mean, you tell yourself you don't care, but you put your team on the screen. And then you got the kickoff return.
Memphian.
Yeah.
Memphian. Dotson, who went to high school at Baylor.
Yes, Joakim. He actually originally was an owl.
He was an owl?
He was an owl.
Was he briefly an owl or for a while?
He started as a freshman.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And then he just decided he liked the language programs?
No.
What happened?
Well, so originally, though, he decided that the overseas program at Collierville was better than MUS in Europe. And then he decided the opportunity to go to good Christian, solid education on the Hill in Chattanooga
was best.
Correct.
Is he super talented?
He is super talented.
Is that one of the obstacles that MUS faces in dealing with playing to beat the Baylors of the world?
And, I mean, there's statewide challenges and then there's local challenges.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Local challenges is why would you pay to go to MUS when now all the other schools have every facility that you have, if not better.
You also had, we've been following the Max Gilbert saga all year long.
Oh, yeah.
He missed one.
Yeah, it was tough.
From 39.
Listen, everyone knows that stadium's tough with the wind.
Of course.
Yeah, I know. The Illinois kid didn't miss his.
Walk-off loss for UT. And, of course, the stat that everyone is mentioning is they haven't beaten a ranked team. No wins over a team that will be ranked.
Yeah, you know what, though?
That's true, right?
I think that it's going to finish ranked.
What's their best win in the end?
Their best win this year? Gosh, is it Florida? Tennessee's best win this year.
8-5. Finished the year 8-5. And you'd have to say disappointing, right? Disappointing such that if you have a year like this next year, he will then be on the hot seat the next year, right?
Yeah, but I kind of go back to when you and I were talking about this when Nico left, and we're like, all right, you're going to go 8-4, and
well,
you're
funny, of course, is when Nico left, everyone celebrated it, and you had this year unfolded and Nico been like Mendoza,
yeah,
then you'd be, what were you doing, man? You should have paid him, because the Nico experience wasn't so hot either. No one looks back at that with regret now.
Right? Yeah. I'm ready to say Tennessee's best win was the Georgia loss.
That doesn't count.
It was overtime.
Actual win. best win.
The best actual win is at Mississippi State, probably. That is the only, I think the only bowl team they beat was Mississippi State, who got into a bowl at 5-7. They did pound Florida.
Are you aware of the work of Anthony Calandria?
The UNLV
QB.
So originally UVA.
Player of the year in that conference.
UVA guy, played with Mullen. He is an electric factory because at any given moment, he could throw a touchdown or he could throw a back-breaking interception. You live on the edge of your seat.
I think On3 was reporting that Tennessee is involved there. Obviously, they got George McIntyre and the young guy, Faison Brandon,
from there Greensboro
as well. And so we'll see what happens with UT. And then Charlie Baker, who's the head of the NCAA.
Sure.
Are you familiar with the NCAA? Do you remember the NCAA?
Vaguely.
He released a statement because we have this world now where players over at Baylor, they're suiting up a player who was the 31st pick in the draft, European player who was the 31st pick in the draft this past year, and is going to be joining Baylor in progress. And so the question is, what are the rules anymore? Like, obviously, you've seen lots of coaches. Izzo Calipari had a long rant about this.
God, he was cooking.
What?
He was cooking.
It was a perfect rant.
It was awesome.
Because it was so self-serving in the way that it was all.
The only one's going to commit high school.
The only one who's going to still recruit high school players is me, because I care about kids.
That was, and their families.
I care about kids and their families. That was a beautiful. I mean, it was an absolutely.
$11 million. Woo!
Perfect rant. But what he said was this. The NCAA has not and will not grant eligibility to any prospective or returning student athletes who have signed an NBA contract, including a two-way contract.
Heroic stance.
As schools are increasingly recruiting individuals with international league experience, the NCAA is exercising discretion in applying the actual and necessary expenses bylaw to ensure that prospective student athletes with experience in American basketball leagues are not at a disadvantage compared to their international counterparts. What did that sentence mean?
So
what's he saying there?
I think what he's saying is we have to balance the fact that you can be a professional in Europe, but if you're a professional in America,
you can have played 10 years in Spain and come and play in Memphis and for the Grizzlies and for University of Memphis, the Tigers. You just can't have played an NBA game. And you can't have a side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.